And Newell has got some time off. I don't know if he's going to watch World Cup soccer or not, but I know he's not here, so I am. Dave Cohen filling in for Newell Normand on this Friday. Happy Friday to you and yours. I think Friday should be celebrated every week because I do love the weekend. And we do have World Cup soccer with the Americans participating tonight. Now, the U.S. team is considered the 17th ranked team in the world, so there's not high expectation, and odds makers aren't putting a lot of faith in them either, that they're going to be able to perform extremely well in this once every four year World Cup competition. And I don't know if that's a factor or not in part of the reason that Americans aren't as into soccer as fans are globally. Why the United States has just never seen it catch on the same way it has elsewhere. I know when I drive by parks, particularly Lafreniere Park, they took out baseball diamonds and football fields, and they have soccer fields covering Lafreniere Park, and they're always full. And, you know, we even have the phrase that entered the lexicon of soccer mom, because so many kids have been participating in soccer for really a couple of generations now. You know, without soccer, there'd be no minivan, right? And we know there are a lot of minivans. So my point is, I don't know why, even as we've seen more and more and more children participating in soccer and more parents putting their kids into soccer, why that hasn't translated into the popularity of professional soccer here in the United States. It has struggled every season to get a following and make money and put butts in seats and fans in stands. And even during the Olympics and the World Cup, I mean, the rest of the world goes crazy. I mean, it's like engulfing them. It's like we are about, well, football, with two O's, not a U, in the United States. But they're even more fanatical about it. If they could build stadiums to hold 200,000 people in many European countries and African countries, they would. And they'd fill them. Because people are just that crazy and fanatical about soccer. Why hasn't that happened here? Is it that we have greater competition for the sports dollar and the sports interest? Because we have NFL football. We have Major League Baseball. We have NBA basketball. We have NHL hockey. We have NASCAR. We have PGA golf. And the list goes on and on. Maybe that is a factor that we can only be fans of so much. And in many of the European and really in the African nations, and Asian too, to a large extent, they don't have that all those other options. They don't have as many places to put their allegiance when it comes to teams to support. But there's just something that doesn't make sense about it all. And to help us understand, we have asked the man who literally wrote the book on it to join us here on WWL, G. Edward White, author of Soccer in American Culture, The Beautiful Game's Struggle for Status. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Also, by the way, a professor of law at the University of Virginia School of Law. So, Professor White, you are a learned individual. You have researched and studied. You have looked, as you would as a lawyer, at all sides of every argument. And what is the verdict? Why has soccer just never caught on here in the United States like it does globally?
Well, I think we ought to qualify that statement by saying, not that it's never caught on, but that it's only recently caught on. And I concede that the degree of enthusiasm and interest in soccer in the United States doesn't match that of a lot of other nations. So the United States audiences are not going into the World Cup with the same kind of fervor that many other residents of many other nations may be. That being said, it is a puzzle, and that was one of the puzzles I explored in my book, as to why when the English version of football called association football to distinguish it from rugby football at the time that those two sports were splitting off from one another. Why in a period when association football or soccer began to flourish across Western Europe and to some extent in other nations, Latin America and Asia and Africa, why it didn't take root in one of the largest markets with a substantial British population, indeed two of them, Canada and the United States, why the sport really didn't take root for many years, being a relatively marginalized sport, not being played in high schools and colleges to any great extent, being limited to a few communities where there was an immigrant population with sufficient interest and expertise in soccer, and the American professional soccer leagues really struggling to establish themselves. So we really don't get anything like an American professional soccer league until the 1980s, and that quickly folds. It's really kind of a puzzle, and one of the things I tried to do in my book is to explain how that happened.
And it is puzzling because you even pointed out things I hadn't thought about. We have a whole lot of immigrants here going back to 250 years ago when folks from mostly Europe started establishing in the New World. So there are those ties to countries where soccer, football, is wildly popular. And in the more recent era, where we have so many immigrants from Latin America and from Mexico and in countries there where soccer is wildly popular coming here, we see it in youth sports more than ever before. I even said earlier, we have a phrase now, a soccer mom, that became universally understood as so many parents were involving their kids in soccer leagues and playing soccer in their community that you would think, and that's going back well over a generation now, that would have led to this whole new crop of kids grew up playing soccer, would then be soccer fans as adults, but it really hasn't developed that way, has it?
Well, it has to some extent. We now have a men's professional soccer league, the Major League Soccer, that is really flourishing, struggled in its origins around the turn of the 21st century, but now is well established and expanding and has a considerable fandom. And we also have a women's soccer league that after some struggles has established itself. And what we have, I think, most importantly, is we have now a community of persons that have grown up playing soccer and understanding the game, and so they are much more knowledgeable fans than the average American was, let's say, a generation ago. So I think in some ways things are in place for soccer to get out of a marginalized status into something more resembling a major sport yet, but something in which a number of people follow and the television networks cover. And so I think the future for American soccer is pretty bright. But here we are two decades into the 21st century, whereas soccer has been established in England and United Kingdom and Europe really ever since right after the Civil War. And so there's this huge interval in which soccer just didn't take root in the United States.
And we can agree, to use your word, it's still a marginal sport. And I wonder, though, if it isn't because of some of the competition here, because as soccer was growing in the UK and spreading across Western Europe, that's when we were establishing Major League Baseball. That's when we were establishing the National Football League. That's when we were seeing what are the most popular American sports in their formative years. And now you add in NBA and NHL and NASCAR. And is there just too much competition for fans in the United States? And has there been for them to, do they just not have room for or appetite for following another team?
Well, let me say a couple things about that. First of all, there's no question that the presence of indigenous American sports, most notably basketball and baseball and gridiron football, and to that ought to be added volleyball, a sport that was regularly played in high schools and colleges from the early 20th century on, the presence of those indigenous sports retarded the development of soccer because they got folded into high school and college curricula. And instead of in the European model, athletics being played outside of universities and schools, but rather in clubs after the school day was done, in the United States, they were part of the academic curriculum, so to speak. They were offered, but only some sports were offered, and soccer was not offered. Soccer was not offered in part because of the absence of a community of persons that were really qualified enough to coach it. I mean, you don't have a lot of Americans in the 1910s and 1920s when the progressive era, the educators are taking over athletics and moving it into the curriculum. You just don't have a lot of people that are qualified to teach coach soccer, and you don't have a lot of people that really understand soccer. So soccer just gets bypassed. But I don't believe in the some scholars have established the concept of sports space and suggested that there's a limited number of opportunities for sports to develop in any culture at any particular point in time. And soccer has just gotten crowded out by the existence of other sports. I don't really agree with that. I think that Americans are marvelously interested in recreational opportunities. I mean, consider pickleball, which was largely unknown a decade ago and is now not only played recreationally, but professionally, and is on television. So if there's a sport
that... That is wild when you think about it, isn't it? I'm going to actually pause you right there, Professor White, because we got to take a commercial break. But when we come back, I want to pick up the conversation there, and I want to turn to the money side of the talk on two fronts. One, is it the lack of the big TV contracts that have made football and baseball and basketball and NASCAR so successful that have kept soccer marginalized? And is it that in countries where it has flourished, it's so cheap to start playing as a child? How does money factor into this? We'll talk about that with Professor White when we come back, and we welcome your thoughts at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're back with the author of the book, Soccer in American Culture, The Beautiful Game's Struggle for Status, after this. Getting texts on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870 on why soccer has not caught on in the U.S. like it has in so many other places around the world. One person says, I think it's mostly that Americans don't understand soccer. Somebody else says, it's boring, in all caps with three exclamation points. Another says, the sport itself is just plain boring to watch. Another person says, soccer would be more interesting if they reduced the size of the field. So just some of the thoughts people are sharing with us as we talk about what's up with the fact that as we enter World Cup play, the United States playing tonight, that soccer is not the crazy, wild, popular sport it is here. To put it in the words of G. Edward White, our author, it's marginalized in the United States. He wrote the book, Soccer in American Culture, The Beautiful Game Struggles for Status. Professor White, how much does money play a role in this, in the fact that football, basketball, baseball, they all have these massive television contracts that pump billions of dollars into those sports and into the players who play them, and we see them all the time on our televisions?
Yes, I think that's certainly been a factor in the retarded development of soccer. And it's kind of a catch-22 issue involved. That is to say, before you can attract the television markets and get a contract that helps you out significantly financially as a sport, you have to get to a certain degree of visibility, or the networks are not going to be interested in showing you. You know, if nobody really pays attention to you, to the sport, then why go through the effort and expense to put it on television? On the other hand, if you don't put it on television, how are you going to attract audiences to the sport? And that really plagued the development of American professional soccer leagues in the 20th century. Eventually, the first serious effort at establishing a professional soccer league, the North American Soccer League in the 1980s, did secure a contract. But the networks stopped showing them after a while, in part because there wasn't really a critical mass of persons interested in the United States in watching soccer, and secondly because the level of play in the North American Soccer League was quite uneven. There were some franchises that won a lot of their games. There were some franchises that were consistently beaten, and Americans found it hard to get interested in the game. Let me make a comment on the people who called in and talked about soccer's being boring and soccer's being slow. I was on a comparable podcast with some people from Switzerland. And they were talking about, you know, how excited they were about the upcoming World Cup. And I talked about the stereotype of American audiences finding soccer boring, and how if you were a Swiss fan growing up with soccer, you certainly wouldn't find it boring because you would understand what's going on in the action while the ball's being kicked around the field, passed around the field, and nobody's necessarily taking a shot at the goal. You can appreciate the good defensive play and the good offensive play. And if you notice with European fans during intervals in soccer, they're singing and cheering while they're paying attention. And I suggested to the person interviewing me, who is from Switzerland, if they went to an American baseball game, they might find the action boring there. There's a lot of intervals where nothing, quote, nothing is happening, but knowledgeable American audiences wouldn't find it boring because they're thinking about baseball strategy and other matters in between the action. American football fans are not worried about the fact that actually there's a very little time when there's physical action on the field. There's a lot more time taken up with intervals between play. American football audiences don't find that boring because they're thinking about what's coming up next. So I think the reaction of people who find soccer boring is that they're just not well enough informed about the game to appreciate its subtleties in the same manner that American audiences who go to baseball games appreciate the subtleties of baseball.
Is it the fact that there's so little scoring that maybe contributes to people finding it, quote, boring?
Well, yeah, it is repeatedly said that American audiences like scoring. And it is true that FIFA in the World Cup competitions has had to tweak the rules to make make it harder for defensive teams to simply prevent other sides from scoring at all through various tactics. They've eliminated some ways in which players could prevent goals from being scored inside the penalty areas and such. So there is a level of a high class soccer where goals are very much at a premium. But that doesn't seem to detract from the general level of enthusiasm among non-American audiences. I don't think, for example, that in ice hockey, audiences would be turned off with low-scoring games as opposed to higher-scoring games. I don't think that in baseball, American audiences insist that there be a whole lot of hits and runs to make an enjoyable game. So I think that the absence of goal scoring is just part of the intricacy of soccer. And Americans should, in my view, learn to appreciate that.
Do you think that having the World Cup in North America with games being played across this continent will help move soccer from the margins into the mainstream? Will it provide a significant spike, or it will just be another of these slow steps towards soccer's growth in the United States?
I think more of the latter than the former. There was a little bit of a boom for soccer after the World Cup was staged in 1994, and indeed, Major League Soccer came into being as a result of a deal that FIFA made. The United States had never hosted a World Cup and was not regarded as a favorable place to do so because of the lack of interest in the American population for soccer. But the vastness of the American market tempted FIFA to think about it. And FIFA said basically to the organizers of the 1994 World Cup, we'll consider your bid seriously, but you have to start a professional soccer league. And that's how MLS got started. So after the World Cup, there was a bump in interest, but MLS nonetheless struggled and has taken a while to establish itself. And I would say this time the American audiences are poised to appreciate the World Cup far more than they did in 1994. But the question remains about whether the mere presence of the World Cup in the United States and in Mexico and Canada is going to result in a transformation of the sport from its marginalized status to a mainstream sport. I personally believe that eventually something like that is going to happen, but I think we're a ways away from it, and I think it will be a gradual process.
G. Edward White, author of Soccer in American Culture, The Beautiful Game's Struggle for Status. Where can folks get your book?
Well, they can get it in the usual places. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it at Barnes & Noble. They probably can get it in some bookstores. It's in a paperback edition as well as a hardcover.
Anything I didn't ask you about or anything you think we didn't cover that you want to note as we await the Americans' debut in World Cup this evening and hope that they can – I hope that if they're successful, I think that helps move the sport forward, no doubt, because Americans like to root for the home team. Anything else you want to point out before we let you run?
Yeah, people who've talked to me about the book have asked me how I think the U.S. men's team is going to do in the World Cup. And I'm sorry to say that I do not expect great things from the U.S. men's team. They've struggled over the last a few years with coaching changes and interactions between players and coaches. I just don't think it's been time for them to get themselves fully together to compete with the really great European and Latin American powers. So I imagine they're predicted to win their group. I imagine they will advance out of their group, but I'm not sure they're going to get much further.
All right. Well, the more success they have, clearly, I think it'll help the popularity of the sport overall. Olympic success, I think, as well would help. Don't you in moving the popularity of soccer forward?
I absolutely agree with that. That certainly happened with the women's team. the women's team was successful in the Olympics and in the World Cup, and a women's soccer boomed as a result of that. Yes, so yeah, I mean, hopefully the U.S. team will do very well, and people, and then will the popularity of soccer will get a boost from that.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Go USA. Enjoy tonight's match. And thank you so much for spending some time with us here on WWL and helping us explore this, because it really is a puzzle that so far no one has been able to solve. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
G. Edward White, author of Soccer in American Culture, The Beautiful Game's Struggle for Status. I want to hear from you now at 504-260-1870. It can be about this, as to why soccer has remained, in our author's words, marginalized despite so many efforts to move it into the mainstream. Could also talk, we were talking earlier about the fact that fewer voters are participating in the election, that we have early voting starting for today, that will essentially select the next U.S. senator to represent the great state of Louisiana on Capitol Hill. More than 80% of eligible voters in Louisiana are not expected to participate in this election. As we celebrate our 250th birthday, why do you think that is, that so few people are interested in voting? Talk about anything else you want. I'm going to open up the lines for the rest of the hour at 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line. Whatever you want to talk about, call in now, 504-260-1870. We'll put you on the radio after this. Opening up the lines for the rest of this hour, whatever you want to talk about. Mike, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. What's on your mind, Mike?
So I'm not sure I'm in agreement with the gentleman that wrote the book.
Author last hour on the popularity of soccer, or the last segment on the popularity of soccer. What do you disagree with him about?
I disagree that he's left out a large, large portion of it. I'm not sure how he got his data or his background. Doesn't matter. It's just he's short on the history of U.S. soccer. U.S. soccer goes way back, and it's taken us this long to get to where we are. And if this is not the team to do it, it's going to take us about another 10, 15 years. And why? Because the growth in soccer in America, it appears to be going on the line of privileged kids that can afford to do the training, to do the practice. Ask yourself, why are the top eight countries less economical than we are? They are poor countries. Kids are playing in the streets, on the street corner.
Yeah, really, all you need is a ball. All you need is a ball and some open area to play soccer. So it's cheap to get involved.
Not even a ball. In Central America, kids go to the loading docks and take tape and put a small ball and wrap tape around to create a ball without shoes.
So if that's the case, Mike...
Sorry.
And that's all right. If that's the case, Mike, then you would think that you're saying we have far more privilege. I mean, we're a first world country. We're the most successful economic country on the planet. You would think that if it's a privileged kids sport in the United States, that we'd have plenty of kids who were interested in thriving in soccer.
But that's why. It's because it's the privileged kids. The passion isn't there. Where you take a kid in Brazil, in Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua, Brazil, Argentina, even Spain, they're playing on the streets. Flip it around. Why are we now doing basketball and getting European players, Chinese players, Japanese players? They're coming from all over to play NBA basketball. And it's growing. Look at how many Europeans are playing in the NBA. African players playing in the NBA because they're growing it, because they want to be part of the culture in America. Now we got NFL football going broad and wide to get athletes. that can play the game from different sports. So it's going to take us a while, much longer than what your author is alluding to.
Before soccer has that level of popularity in the U.S. But we do see underprivileged kids, by and large, playing basketball, playing football, and getting involved in those sports as a way of trying to find their way out of poverty or improve their status in life. So I don't know why soccer hasn't been identified that way. But thanks for the call, Mike. But I think also the opportunities aren't there here in soccer, and they see opportunities to become wealthy playing football, playing basketball, and playing other sports. 504-260-1870. Let's see who we got up next. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, earlier in the week, you were talking, I know that you had open lines. People were talking about, like, the threats of drones and going into people's backyards and, like, peeping Tom drones and, you know, data centers. I think, you know, it's got its pros and cons, obviously. Maybe a privacy issue, obviously, with the drones or job losses, you know, Walmart with the drones. And then the data centers, there's questions with water consumption, you know, the noise that comes from these data centers.
Electrical consumptions. All right, so what's your point, Jimmy?
Well, tie that into the water consumption issue in Jefferson Parish. I just feel like there's a big runaround on this subject. The bills obviously are quadrupling. You're hearing all the...
Okay, Jimmy, do you live in Jefferson Parish?
Yes, I do.
How much did your water bill go up?
In the last year, like almost triple.
Almost triple. All right, yes. I'm going to put you on hold, Jimmy. Hold on, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come back, and we're going to explore that a little deeper because I have just gotten from Jefferson Parish, because I had the parish president on last hour talking about this. I've just gotten from Jefferson Parish how much your water bill is supposed to go up this year. I'll tell you that number, and we'll see if it conforms to what you're seeing after this on WWL. We're talking with Jimmy, who's upset about his water bill in Jefferson Parish. So we asked him during the break to get his most recent water bill. Jimmy, you got it?
Yeah, I got it, buddy.
All right, how much is it this month?
It's between $250 to $300.
No, what does it say on your bill? How much is your bill this month?
Okay, let me see. $258.
And how much was it last month and the same month last year?
It just shows a kind of like a pie, like a chart. It doesn't show... I get billed every 2 months. It does show the breakdown of that monies. I would say the two biggest charges are garbage service and water consumption. And, you know, obviously, I mean, look, I got two kids, a wife, where it's four of us in a house. It's not
no, I know, but
house.
But before the break, you said that your bill had nearly tripled.
Correct.
So
it shows a usage history. Now, of course, that's a portion of the charges, and they've added some other fees. I know there's millages and things that are getting thrown in the mix.
No, I understand
the
that.
The overall bill every 2 months has, in the last year approximately, tripled for me.
So you're paying about $250 now.
Go ahead.
You're paying $250 now, and you were paying less than $85 before? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, okay, I mean, it was reasonable, you know?
Yeah, that's not what's supposed to
trending.
Happen.
Yeah, and listen, and well, let me say this. The smart meters, which I don't have on my house yet, seems to be the issue. I'm detecting with the people I've talked to as far as the readings or some calibration with that. I've heard people have stories way worse than this. It's trending upward. It's not a catastrophe for me, but it just seems like, you know, some people are in the dark. You know, I've heard stories from other people I've talked to saying that grass is growing over these smart meters, and, you know, they're not checking them. They're just, you know, either passing by with this electronic digital system.
Well, they don't have to check them. That's kind of the thing. Thanks, Jimmy. That's kind of the thing with the smart meter is it's connected to the internet. It's connected to your app. You can monitor it, but also they can monitor it too in real time. And they don't have to come and look at your meter anymore. But we had the parish president on last hour, and I've pulled up all the information from the parish, and your bill is supposed to have gone up about $80 a year. They're spending billions of dollars in upgrading the water and sewer systems, and so there are increasing charges. And so your combined utility bill with water, sewer, trash, and everything else, it's not supposed to have tripled. It's supposed to be going up 3 to 4% per year right now. And it's supposed to be going up about $80 more this year in total than it was last year. So if your bill really is gone, Jimmy, from less than 85 for a two-month period to more than 250, Jefferson Parish says call them. And they will come out. They will make sure your meter is working properly. And they want to make sure you don't have a leak on your property. They'll look at your water consumption to see if it's dramatically changed. The parish president said she had a leaky toilet that never stopped running and her bill jumped. And then they found a leak under the slab and that was part of the reason her bill jumped as well. Of course, you have to look at, did you fill a swimming pool? Did you add additional people to your home? You know, there's all kinds of things that can influence the consumption. Every system's going to be faulty, and every system's going to have problems. And the people who are getting $1,000 water bills, clearly there's something either wrong with the meter or wrong with their plumbing, and that needs to be looked at. But enough people have now sounded the alarm that I know Jefferson Parish leaders, and we just talked to the parish president, are concerned about this and want to make sure that your meter is working properly and that you do not have a consumption issue caused by a leak. So call the parish water department. If you have to, call the parish president's office. Get them to come out and make sure this is what's supposed to be happening. It should go up, but it shouldn't be going up tripling or quadrupling. And half the parish now has these smart meters. So maybe some of them are faulty. I think we're going to get to the bottom of this, and they will refund your money if they find out that it is truly not their fault. Is Louisiana seafood going to go away or become just for the very wealthy? We'll find out next on WWL.